West West show.
Here's Olam. Oh, he's away from one, away from another. Look at this. Justin Olam.
Alright, welcome back to another episode of the 135 Footy Show. Usual co-host is training his boy tonight, so welcome in Bob Sevalier. How's it going, also?
Yeah, good, bro. Thanks for having me. I was looking forward to having a bit of back and forth banter with Simon, but seeing as he's got priorities this evening, happy to step in while he's out, so we don't have to hear all this Broncos rubbish.
Yeah, hopefully he's just running water for those kids and he's not trying to coach. Poor kids. But thanks, Uzo. Thanks for jumping on. Good to have you on, bro. Man, round five and, yeah, telling time of the season. I saw a stat, something about the teams who are 13th and below on the ladder in round five don't go on to win a season. So we'll discuss that later. We'll see if there's any truth to that. And we'll have a look at the teams that actually fall under those, under the 13 in the ladder at the moment. But let's quickly go through the games, bro. I'm not sure if you caught all of them, but our game on Thursday night, we weren't even recording last Thursday. So yeah, it was actually good to try and catch most of this game. Tough game, 34-32 to the Storm. How'd you find this one, bro?
That was a tough game, that one, because it was, to be honest, that one could have gone either way, I thought. Storm probably did enough to win in the end, but I remember having a bit of banter with the boys during that game, and, you know, Broncos, it was always going to be a tough gig for them, but you kind of thought that they would have had the team to get that one done, you know, again, that one could have gone either way, but the Storm really held out, and they had the players on the day to you know, get that one across the line. I thought Katoa had a really good game. Jerome Hughes, Harry Grant were really good. Their usual spine, you know, they don't pick up many points on the old on the old fantasy team, but they do enough to win the actual games. That was my son telling me, oh, why do you have these players? They might be good during the game, but they're really shit from the fantasy. They don't give you many points there. It's like, true, I should drop some of these people.
It's good to watch, and then it's like, check fantasy, like, oh, man, they looked awesome when I was watching them.
They did. And I was like, damn it, you know, the week that I dropped Ezra Mann because he's been performing like shit with like 26-point average, and then he pulls out that game. And Ezra had a really good game, I thought, you know, especially after Reynolds didn't come back in the second half.
Yeah, yeah.
And he picked up that injury. And did they confirm what it was? Because he was clutching at his knee or whatever, and then during the second half, they were talking about a hammy.
So they claim that it's a hammy strain. So they say that they're hoping he'll be back, but I don't know. Like, yeah, the body language and kind of, yeah, what others are saying, it looked like it was worse than a hamstring strain.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen players do that over the years, and they know that their seasons are done.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, with lower leg injuries. You know, it was real Brent Tate-like. The whole sitting there crying in the dressing rooms.
Yeah, and that's how it looks. So, yeah, I don't know if they're just forcing him back, but, man, as much as Ezra stood up, it showed how much he's needed there. And just the guidance he brought last week. Melbourne Storm, like you said, it was a real tough game. But, yeah, they're starting to show comeback as a Melbourne side, I think. After last year, like, I guess, you know, everyone's disappointed, especially like Craig Bellamy. They ended up fourth last year, and that was a disappointing season for them. So it's good to see, like, this year just starting to come back together as a team that likes doing the hard stuff. You know, they were just going back to that, you know, just kicking and just doing the hard stuff for long periods.
They've on paper, they're a really, really solid team. But during games, like, if you watch that Broncos game again, you see people like Will Warbrick, who's built, big, massive body. He's as tall as Xavier Coates, but he comes in and out of games, like when he should be involving himself more, I feel. And I reckon that's probably just his rugby union instinct still in him. Like, it still hasn't completely left.
Well, that little chip chase through in his turn, and I was like, for quite a nimble guy, like he seems, I guess he's just so huge, and Arthur's just walked around him.
Yeah, yeah. And that time where he let the ball bounce, and then Mam came through and scored the try, and like Peps is looking at him like, Sully, why didn't you attack the ball, man? Yeah, it's those kind of small little nuances to a rugby league wingers game that he probably still needs to work on, because, you know, one week he's super awesome, and then the next week he has games like that. And sure, they ended up winning the game, but, you know, Bellamy, and when they look back over the video of that game, there'll be things in it that he'll want to take back and work on. Like, yeah, you're right, Jesse Arthur's burning him on the outside. I was like, hey, come on, mate. And then you've got on the other wing, Coates, who's that guy under the high ball is outstanding.
Oh, man.
And like
he made
poor Binger look really, really stupid.
Oh, Benner's been still ripping, but yeah, that jump that he did, Benner was up and he was like, oh man, a whole half body length above him.
Yeah, and he kind of pushed off Binger's back, and then all I could see was Binger sort of like splayed out.
what do I do?
I was like, oh, come on, no. But I mean, you know, Binger had a good game too, I thought. But just when it comes to aerial battles, you know, Melbourne Storm are a really tough team to go up against, because they've got the wingers. They're similar to the Roosters, where they have really tall wingers out-jump you on the day. And so, yeah, I mean, looking across the teams that evening, you know, did they miss Reece Walsh? Yes, they did. Would Reece Walsh being there have changed the outcome of the game? Yeah, I don't know. I was talking to my son. He played with Cobbo out at Wynnum a few years back. Yeah, just before Cobbo made the Broncos. And he was getting me, man, they've put all this bulk and muscle on Selwyn, and now he's not as fast.
I don't know if those games a couple of weeks ago when he got chased down, I was thinking maybe it's just because he played fullback in that game and he's just tired. Because, yeah, like when he had that ball in open space, I'm like, nice. And then like, why are they gaining on him?
And then he gets run down. Standoffs.
But, yeah, I think it is that, eh? Like, because, yeah, like you look at all these guys that come in the first season, like Xavier Savage, just tiny, fast.
Yeah.
And then they put you just got to get them bigger just to withstand that contact. So talking of big boys, Benjamin Takura. Man, he looks like a beast.
He is, man. Ben Takura is humongous. He scored a try.
What are they having in that game? Yeah, you got a try. 205 centimeters.
Yeah.
That's six foot seven.
Yeah, he's taller than nothing. I mean, that guy, he's got a future ahead of him.
Yeah.
I think he kind of just needs the right people around him to give him some guidance. And I think in a team like the Broncos, where you've got people like Payne Haas, who are really good to mentor you in how a forward should play. And Payne Haas is a really good prop to be mentored by. Like, Payne doesn't do anything outside of what a front row forward should do in rugby league. You catch the ball, secure it, and make yards. And that's all you do. And then post-contact meters. Him and Adam Fennell-Blake are really good for post-contact meters. Like, they'll smash into tackles, and then they'll get an extra 5, 6, 7 meters. You know, that 5, 6, 7 meters disrupts defensive lines, because they're getting ready to be set, thinking, they've stopped them. And then 5, 6, 7 meters, and then they're on this backpedaling. And then front football for his halves, you know, coming forward on attack. You know, that that kind of mentorship from a forward like Payne Haas in your team is only going to make guys like Ben Takura and then the other Xavier Willison in the Broncos team. You know, they've got these two tall, big bodies. And these young fellas, you know, they're big, but they also, they're ball-playing forwards. They're like Xavier Willison. I don't know if you watched the game where he played for the Maoris against the Indigenous, but he was like the standout forward, man, in that game. But, yeah, well, this is going back to the preseason, but he stood out. And so I thought, man, he's going to get a start. But Broncos are like, got so many good forwards, got so many good middle forwards that he didn't get a start until like the third round where he sort of
was he injured in the first two rounds? I really thought that start him too, because he looked good in those other preseason games.
Nah, it wasn't injury. It's I guess you know, Walters has just got, you know, a whole bunch of middle forwards that he can choose from, and so you know, to keep someone like Xavier out when I thought he was outstanding in that preseason game for the New Zealand Maoris, you know, they've got so much talent, the Broncos. And I don't really want to blow smoke up the Broncos' ass, because, you know, Simon and John do that enough throughout the year. But, you know, they've got good forwards. They just need a bit more. You know, Kerrigan's really good, but I feel like he can be a bit of a confidence-type player. Like, if the Broncos are under the pump and there's, like, so much pressure on them to you know, get a win, yeah, pull a victory out of the jaws of defeat. You know, he's done a lot of stuff that should give him the ability to
change a game,
to make sure that the Broncos get over the line. But, you know, in that game against Melbourne, I think Paddy didn't do, you know, I just think he didn't really sort of stand up, I suppose, to get the Broncos across the line in that one, because, you know, it kind of showed with some of the silly penalties and things that were being given away towards the back end of that game. And it kind of also showed when Adam Reynolds comes off, you know, you can bring someone on who can perform in the halfback role, but it's that leadership that needs to be replaced as well. And so when that leadership is removed, you know, someone like Paddy Carrigan, who's been in a leadership role now for a few years, needs to really step up so that, you know, he can get his team across the line. That didn't happen against Storm. And Storm are one of the few teams where you need to get all of your ducks in a row so that you can get a victory. Because if you fall over, then, oh, well, that's kind of what happened.
And saying that, they got close to coming back.
That last 10 minutes was crazy.
Tries back and forth.
Like, the handling errors, the try, and like tries that were, you know, they bungled so many tries. And I was like, what's going on? Broncos are doing everything they can to not win this game. Yeah, it was crazy. It was real heart in your mouth type stuff. And I remember in our chat, I was commenting on how, you know, it's games like these that make NRL really, really stand out as an entertaining product to watch, you know, a sport. You know, that any team on the day can beat any other team on the day, and it's a real roller coaster ride of emotions every set. You know, so and it was no different in that game, and that was a really good game to start round five off.
Going into the next game after that Thursday night game, kicking off the Friday was a wet Dogs versus Roosters game. I watched the replay of this. You catch this one live?
The Dogs Roosters, yes. I just watched this game. That was a good game. Like, that was really a game of two halves.
Literally a game of two halves.
Literally a game of two halves. And, like, honestly, I thought, like, you know, this year you've had so many upsets where teams that were definitely way out of the eight last year. And I'm looking at, like, the Dolphins. I'm looking at the Doggies. Mm. I'm looking at the Tigers. And this year, those teams are able to sort of pull wins out of their butt crack against more established teams, you know, where last year they were top eight teams. And so it's kind of flipped a little bit for those three teams in particular, the Doggies, the Tigers and the Dolphins, where on the day, if you don't turn up, like you get your pants pulled down and they can embarrass you. And this one, even though the scoreline says that the Doggies won, like, man, they won super ugly because the Roosters, from like the very first 5 minutes of the game, lose Dom Young in that tackle and they play with 12 and then end up the game with 11 and they still almost beat the Bulldogs in that game. So,
yeah, game of two halves. I think good signs for Doggies just continuing on, like I was saying the other week, just seeing the, you know, on paper, they're you know, like a team that can do, you know, get a good start on any team. And even just some of their set plays, just the work they were doing. They're starting to come together, starting to believe in themselves. But, yeah, I think just that, just having those proper middles to kind of help them finish out the game, probably where they're struggling. Blake Taff, I was hating on him over the last few weeks, saying they need a proper fullback there. He had a good start to the game, though, until he got buckered by Tom.
Yeah, he's all right. To be honest, I still think Critter needs to go to the back. And I think, you know, they've kind of just appeased Critter playing at the centres by giving him the captaincy. And that's, you know, it's like, silly, if you play in the centres, we'll make you captain. Oh, okay then. You know, even though he'd gone over there from the Panthers.
Yeah, that was why they brought him away. They picked him up, yeah.
That's what he kept talking about in the off-season. I'm going to go back there and play fullback. And like just the impact that he can have coming from the back, you know, I feel would work better for the Doggies just with their having him in the back three. You know, Blake Taff did all right. I see that he's injured now.
Yeah, did Critter finish this game at fullback?
Okay.
I can't remember if they moved
I think he did because they moved Burton into left centre and then Burton looked really good.
You know? Yeah, actually playing in the
center. I was like, this guy, he doesn't miss a beat because, you know, how he was premiership winning centre at the Panthers. And then he comes to the Doggies and he's a standoff. But like he slotted straight in and he was all good playing at centre. But yeah, I don't know. Like the Doggies, they've got a really good forward pack with the introduction of people like Curran.
Curran's been solid.
Coming from the Warriors, and then Curran having that. Yeah, he's having that battle with who is it? Sam Hughes or one of those guys that sort of started ahead of him. But that competition amongst spots and the Doggies is only going to make them better. But yeah, is it going to mean that they're going to go deep this year into top eight? I don't know. They seem to be a team that is just missing a bit of finesse. And it showed because they leaked so many points to the Roosters, who were down 12 men for like the majority of the game, and then 11 men at the end, and they still managed to score a try. So, yeah, there's lots to work on for the Doggies in that game. Oh, and yeah, just for the season.
The 18th man was activated in both games, and for the Sydney City Roosters, the 18th man was Michael Jennings, back into the NRL. Playing his 299th game. And so, yeah, I guess if there's potential of him playing another game, Andrew Abdo's come out saying that they will not celebrate it as being his 300th NRL game, the normal celebration. And, yeah, your thoughts on that?
It's unfortunate that they've brought that into, like, his personal life into the sporting arena. Like, I think, you know, he served his time for all of the shit that he's done, you know, getting caught with banned substances, and he's been sort of stood down for the last 2 or 3 years, or however long it was. To be honest, I thought he was stood down, yeah, and then he retired. He was gone. I didn't realize that he was coming back to register a contract once the suspension had been lifted. And, you know, seeing him back, and he didn't look out of place. Like, he still looked like
just old
Genie
Sister. Like, actual, you know, old
Sower, I suppose. Yeah, and grayer. And then it was funny because I saw this photo on Facebook that Suoli'i put up.
Oh, Suoli'i.
From like 8, 9 years ago, where Suoli'i came out, and he was like standing there, and he looked real short next to Jennings. And then there was a photo of him now as players. He's like, oh, yeah, good to see the big brother come back. And I was like, Suoli'i, that's how long this guy has been around. And I'll be honest, I didn't even realize he was anywhere near 300 games until all of this talk started going on about the NRL not wanting to celebrate his 300th. And again, that's sad because they've done it for every other player. And it's a real, you know, it makes you look at the NRL and the hypocrisy that surrounds the organization around players that do all of this shit off the field or preseason or, you know, in the postseason. They get into all of this sort of trouble and they get forgiven, you know, and then next thing you see them coming back. You see people like Cherry coming back after his drug ban, you know, and it's a double standard that they set. And I, you know, he wasn't even charged for those allegations, you know, and he wasn't charged criminally. There was nothing. And so you're right. It's unfortunate. It just sounded like a he said, she said, jilted lover type sort of scenario where she's, and you look, I don't know what the deal's going on, what's happening.
And that's the thing, it's not a celebration of his 300, you know, being a perfect husband or whatever. This is his NRL career.
Nah. Yeah. He, for 299 games, he's blood, sweat and tears for the NRL. And then for them to come out publicly and announced that they weren't going to acknowledge it in a way that they've acknowledged every other guy's 300th or 400th or Melbourne Storm doing their
celebrate
own.
Celebrate our fifth
we'll celebrate
premiership.
These championships that were taken off us. You know, it's all that kind of stuff. And it just makes them look bad. And, you know, is this that unconscious bias kicking in again that's disadvantaging?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You got to put, like, why would they, you know, why would they allow the registration to happen? Obviously, you know, like you said, we probably assumed he had finished, retired, and maybe someone gave him the opportunity, you know, you probably could come back. And if you know that in the back of your mind, like, actually, I could probably set a milestone. I may not get a full season, but if I can get a couple games under my belt to secure this, that obviously would have had to play into his decision to re-sign a contract, do a preseason. Like, at that age, it's not easy. It's not like you just turned up and they were like, oh, hey, mate. It's not Stephen Donald fishing down the road because they were desperate for players. He's gone and done the hard work, re-signed, only to get this, you know, pulled the rug pulled from him, just told, oh, yeah, we're not going to celebrate your 300th because some... You know, poor Ken, I'd love to hear his take on it. Like, after you've gone through the system and, you know, you've paid your dues, life should be allowed to go on. You know, he's allowed to present again. You know, he's got his job back and life is fine. Whatever went down with him, like, I have my views on it, but at the same time, you know, he's given the freedom because it's gone through the system, yet for some reason Jennings doesn't get the same treatment.
It's the optics of it, because the NRL is now... You know, they're trying to paint themselves as the NRL that looks after Indigenous, that looks after the cultural aspect of the players that are representing all the different teams in their competition. They are representing women in league. You know, they celebrate all these things. And so the optics of what he's been alleged to have done to his ex-partner, doesn't make the NRL look good. And so, yes, you're right. They shouldn't have registered his contract in the beginning, but to be honest, whoever it was that registered probably went, oh, suddenly I'm going to register. Suddenly he's only got two more games and he's going to reach 300. Yeah, exactly. Man, so that'll be a cool story. And then all of this stuff comes out. I was like, suddenly,
we don't want the story anymore.
Yeah, I was like, oh. Suddenly, yeah. Can you cancel the fireworks that we ordered for Geno's 300?
But that's the thing, like, yeah, whatever. Yeah.
They probably were already going to celebrate it. And now with all of this bad publicity.
And that's the thing, it is publicity. Like, all it is
media
yeah,
teams trying to get ahead of it.
All it is the media attention getting ahead of it. Whereas if they probably, you know, whatever came out from the ex and like, because it looks like she's raised it as being an issue. But they should have gone back to Jennings and said, look, bro, what have you done? Like, obviously he's paid his dues and knows what he's done is wrong. Maybe he's doing something in the community to actually give back and fix this. They could have spun the story and celebrated, you know, the stuff that he's doing to you know, make it aware that it's not okay. So, I don't know. It's just, yeah, it's just easy scapegoat and go, oh, look, because you're not going to celebrate 300 games now. And we're going to wash our hands of this. You know? We'll carry on. You'll play 300. You probably might get to 310 by the end of the season. Thanks.
But to be honest, why would you want to? Like, it's not your boss, but it's your boss's boss that is piling on all the shit on your name in public, in the public arena. And, you know, it's like, oh, do I really want to bust my ass for the rest of the season? I mean, as great as it is, because I love this game of rugby league.
And he's already had rubbish, you know, like this, you know, when he was with the,
I'm getting shit
the New South Wales team. So he's like, oh, more of this rubbish. I thought we were over this stuff.
Well, that's what you get when you come in for try celebrations or fights and you dive all over the actual spectacle of the fight and miss everything.
So yeah, we'll see how that progresses. I think there's probably going to be more to be said about that. Yeah, such a shame. I mean, if he does make the field again, it'll be interesting to see how they play that out. Dom Young sent off the field for just a lazy...
Oh, mate.
Yeah, I think the send-off was correct. I don't know if he's got more after that. Do you know if he's been sentenced to any ban? I think 2 weeks I might have heard.
Yeah, I haven't seen what he was given at judiciary, but it was pretty bad. I mean, just the way that he knocked the player out.
I think
who was it that he knocked into?
I think that was the end of his night. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was Taffy. Yeah. And like,
yeah,
Taff just
it was
collapsed.
Like a knockout. Like he was gone before he hit the ground. It wasn't like head knock when he hit. He was
And he didn't like fall forward. He just kind of bang, and then he just
like there's little toys just the collapsing
just sort of
man.
Like... And yeah. I don't think I've seen that in rugby league before where a person is knocked out
the
cold
muscles
like
relaxed
that.
And just
he was out cold. Yeah, and it was terrible, and I was laughing when the doggies boys came running in, and then someone grabbed this side of the jersey, another one grabbed that side, and then they were just both swinging like this.
It ripped and then this guy's like, and what? Who's like this guy? Hello, Superman, can you just go to the sheds now?
You could tell he was like, oh shit, oh, I'll just let them ragdoll me around for a bit, because he was like, go like this, go like that, and he was like, come on, guys, and then just like, shh.
Like, and when they ripped the shirt, he's like, guys, oh, come on, so relax, what are you going to rip my shirt for?
So it's like, so this is a Sonny Bill Williams moment, mate. Just ripped the jersey off, and I was like, But he knew he had done wrong because, you know, he couldn't even do the whole why stand over song combo type style. It was like, wait, sorry, this guy's Makwa KO. And his whole team's coming in. Oh, shit, is that kicker?
Vaie Bronx had him in his fantasy team a couple weeks, probably 3 weeks. 3 weeks, he had him the first week when he scored that amazing 70. And I think he put him as captain the following week and got 30. And now I think he got negative 10 last week. So I think he might be scratching Dong Myung from the Vaie Bronx.
Oh, right. Yeah, it was really bad. It was funny. I was watching I think it was NRL 360 where Gordon Tallis was talking about how they were coached that if you come in and you run in with like a stiff arm, you got to run in with your palm.
Oh, so there's a slip.
So it's like, yeah, so it looks like a, yeah, so it's like a ball, but it's like the hardest slap ever. And he goes, yeah, and if and he was saying it wasn't Bennett, it was Artie Beetson. He was saying it was Artie Beetson that was telling him, he was like, yeah, don't ever run in with your fist closed, because then that's a definite send-off. If you run in and your arms,
because
like,
I think that was part of the defense, like, that was a slap. It wasn't even like a...
Yeah, and I was thinking,
these guys were slap champs way back then. Before it was even a sport, these guys were like, oh, no, this is a technique you meant to use.
And you know what? That's Maguire legit, especially now with the rise of that slapping.
I thought it was just like a mobile game, and then you see like YouTube videos like, oh, it's like an actual sport now. These guys stand in front of each other with their mouth guards. And they got, so what? They hold their thing and they got to like not let go of it to show that you can handle it.
Yeah, because like you have to recover. Like if you get dazed, and then you like, then it's a point for the other person. But if you get dazed, then you can like sort of shake it off, and then you yeah. And I'm like, so these guys are like that guy that drank that like kerosene over the top.
I was just thinking, man, that's so hilarious, because it's like, now that it's a sport, of course kids must be. Can you imagine what it must be like at lunchtime? And he's like, oh, over the top, let's do arm wrestling. No, oh man, I saw that slap. You just have a slap competition.
Man, and you, man, you get, and it's funny because like they get penalized if their hands go too far up their wrist.
Yeah,
the wrist is really hard, and it like.
So they like, still have to use the actual palm, like they
even though I've seen
on that.
Yeah, it's got to be the palm. It's got to be a palm slap. That's why when you see them in the beginning, they sort of check their distance and they have like, yeah. It's like one, two, and then people can still come up and then bar on like
right
the real base of their palm wrist. And that's like, boom, that's just as bad as getting David to a left hook, mate. I've seen some of those people get absolutely knocked out.
But how do they know that it's like flat? Yeah, I'm sure there'd be some singers in there just doing there. Look like a slap was hard, a karate chop.
Honestly, bro, it's a crazy sport, because I've seen dudes go into it think, slap, and then they come up against those big flipping hillbilly farmers with
massive
ass frying
hands,
pan like, hands.
So his hands the size of my head.
Yeah, hard out. So it's like, that's a stupid Balinese sport.
All right, let's get back to our sport. Anyway, the Knights Dragons, another wet game on the Friday night. I missed this one. I only caught a few highlights. Decent win from the Knights. The Dragons been up and down this year. I don't know if you caught this one. I caught that each Dragons, Zach Lomax, flick pass. Yeah.
Zach Lomax.
Back into Ben Hunt.
Yeah. You know what's funny is like that talk of Zach Lomax wanting to.
Disgruntled and wanting to
like leave the Dragons. Disgruntled, not wanting to play on the wing. This guy's having probably one of his best seasons.
So I don't know if he's like doing that for his contract somewhere, but because I listened to Triple M and they said that he's got a contract just waiting to be signed.
Yeah, he's already finishing. Yeah, he's finishing up with the Dragons. But they were talking, NRL 360 were talking about how Flanagan was the perfect coach to coach Lomax on the wing. That guy's like finishing drives, and I'm like, silly, why?
This guy having a sook, but especially like that role that the wingers play, like running the balls, like, bro, you're greedy anyway. At least you get to get the ball even more now.
Every time he scores a try, he gets up with a sooky bubble look on his face. Like,
I'm still how many tries I set up will get. I want to leave, man. I'll kick all these kicks. I don't care. I'm leaving.
Yeah, man. I didn't catch the game either, but it was funny that Jackson Hastings, like last week when they played the Warriors, and I caught the end of the Warriors reserve grade playing the Newcastle Knights reserve grade, and Hastings just didn't look
playing
like
at
he
the
enjoyed
reserve grade.
Playing.
Yeah.
in the reserves. And I was like, oh, because they had
starting.
In the top side. So Cogger had like a bit of a shit game, I thought, against the Warriors. And every time he did something shit, like my son was next to me, he goes, oh, Jackson Hastings will be laughing in the stands. Yeah, that's right. Give me my jersey back. And so he came back for that game against St. George. And so, yeah, he did all right, actually, in the highlights.
Yeah, so did they end up just dropping Gamble, or was that injury to Gamble? That's why they were able to play Cogger.
No, because Cogger played.
Yeah, so Cogger was there, so they just fully dropped Hastings. Tyson Gamble.
Yeah, just swapped after that loss to the Warriors. And, you know, dropping someone down to reserve grade can have that effect on a player, especially when they're meant to be a player that is supposed to be guiding your team around the field. And so, you know, there's that talk of Damian Cook itself getting dropped in the upcoming round. So I'm like, going, oh, okay. You know, so is that going to be a good idea? I was like, hey, man, if it worked for Ruben Wiki back in the days when he got dropped to the Auckland Vulcans at the Warriors, and then he was playing with all of his old Otara Scorpion boys. You know, if it's good for old Ruben Wiki back in the days, it's going to be good for guys like Jackson Hastings and Damian Cook and whoever else is going to get dropped. I mean, it's tough being an NRL first grade coach. Hell, you just have to look at the bloody Titans and
Dez. Yeah, we'll get to Dez and his boys.
What's going on over there, mate?
But yeah, I think that's a good game for your Hastings to come back to. It'll be interesting to see if they keep it. It felt knee-jerk, like, just to even change. I think, it was kind of just a lot of pressure having Cogger brought in over to the team and then having him on the bench. I think they really need to make room for him. It was kind of fair enough. Jack Hastings was a bit disgruntled too when he kind of got chopped, because it's not like, you know, both him and Tyson Gamble were doing okay. Yeah. It's not like the worst, but it's kind of, especially it was kind of like he was the scapegoat. Just drop him, like, well, you're the seven. Mm.
It was a disappointing loss if you're a St. George fan, especially after the week before where especially they beat Manly.
No one thought that. No one expected it. And
That's what I mean. Like, this year is where teams that were definitely bottom eight last year are going to, on their day,
that's
be able to upset like some of the teams that were
close. And it's just those little things that they do. But disappointing, not even as a fan, but just like what I saw last week. I missed this week, but like I was saying, the guys that stood up for them, you know, Jaden Sua, Luciano, he was good last week as well, and Moses Sully. Like, just seeing those kind of the young guys and Dragons kind of stepping up, going, cool, this is our team now, let's... I missed it, disappointing to see off the back of that, they couldn't...
Yeah, the difference between the teams that are going to make it this year and the ones that don't, and it's the same thing every year, it's consistency. Like, you've got to be able to have that consistency week in, week out, and they talk about, you know, the difference between your best game and your worst game needs to be, like, super close. Like, if your best game is, like, here one week where you can beat Manly, and then the next week it's down here where you lose to the Knights, and that's not good enough, and you're not gonna get very far in the season, and you won't be there come finals time. You know, so it's got to be like that Broncos Storm game. Like, if that was the worst game that the Broncos are going to play, and they've got some really good games in them throughout the year, like, you know, and we've seen that consistently with the Warriors so far, which is what I've been super encouraged by this year, is the first five rounds, Warriors have been like...
In the balance.
You know, their worst games are like really close losses, and then they've had some really good games where they've just done exactly what they did the week before, just a little bit better.
And that's the thing, always improving it, just opportunities. And
they've gotten a result.
And you see them address it. Let's jump straight into them, because the boys were awesome at a core stadium. An amazing ground after all the rain and everything we saw on Friday. Of course, stadium apparently got that same weather. They had good conditions for the night. That thanks to Taylor Swift, that field was pristine. You wouldn't have even known that it had rained that much.
I remember the commentary team even talked about it. Like, is this the same venue? This is the same venue that our poor colleagues who were commenting, commentating the night before were at. You know, the Aussie crew, that is. But, yeah, man, the good thing about the Warriors this year is that they haven't missed a beat. Like, they've just continued on from the momentum that they built up last year. And the one cool thing that I really like about Kiwis in Australia that back the Warriors is that they are turning up in droves at
these that was crazy
grounds. And so when you hear chants like...
At the end of that second half, near the end of the game, Warriors. When the chant was going up, I was like, listening, I was like, hey, I'm like turning up my TV. I was like, hello, Warriors chant at like at a Rabbitohs game. I was like, come on. So, man, yeah. And I guess a long time coming. Like, if those were true Warriors fans, good on them, man, because they would have sat through so many bad years of us getting sussed by the Rabbits. And every year we thought we were close or good enough. Like you were saying, our margin between our good games would be like carve up the week before, face the Rabbits, and, oh, which Warriors team was this? Because, And so that was always that margin that, against, and that's what I said last week when I was reviewing this game, like, oh, depends on, like, you know, if the Rabbits, this is one of those games they get up for. And, yeah, I think the Warriors was just a different, not that same Warriors where we have such a margin. And this Rabbitohs team is, far from just a disappointing team. And I think, even when you compare it to that Roosters pack, the Roosters roster, it's not impressive. Like, you kind of think as these team stalwarts of the competition, the Roosters have kind of kept recruiting and they've always been there, thereabouts, and the Rabbitohs have been able to do the same, but they haven't looked after this place. Like, you can kind of see everything that's happening, and then you look around and I don't think Latrell had a bad game. Some little head explosions, but he was trying to be busy. He had a few little runs there. Just good defense, like the Warriors, the way they play a game plan and shut down there, exactly what they did to Ponga as well. They're real good at this. If there's an attacking player in your team, they're going to kick early to them and get down on them so they can't do what they usually do. That's there. They did awesome against Latrell on Saturday with that.
Yeah, like Webster, he must have strategies against teams that have good kick returns players, like especially in their back three. So which game was it? I must have been
who we there was the Sharks by? Game, the first game. And then we had the Storm. And then we had that nice game.
Storm. Yeah. It was against Storm.
Paps, yeah, pretty much nullified a lot of Paps.
Storm have got a really good kick return so they don't contest the kicks. They'll get up there, but they don't contest. So they let, like, Xavier Coates or Warbrick or whoever it is just catch. So instead of jumping up to try and contest, knowing that they're going to get out-jumped and, you know, you might land funny or whatever or give away a penalty or you might get in a position where you're now in the ruck and you're now a man down in defence. Yeah, so they can, like, sort of catch land, make some metres, get up for a quick play the ball, and now you've got, like, two players who are in the ruck or involved in the tackle that aren't in the defensive line. They let the wingers jump up, catch the ball, and then they tackle them
room to
straight
move.
Away. So it's like, now we've defused Warbrick or Coates or whoever it was that jumped up for the kick. And that's the plan now. So now they have to, from the stationary position, we haven't allowed Coates to catch the ball and step, jinky, try and make some meters. He's just caught the ball, gets wrapped straight away, like, by two players.
And that's the thing, because no one would have thought, like, even the commentary was like, not sure why they're persisting with this plan. Because I guess they were just thinking, you're going to get out, like, Coates is going to catch it all day. It's like, we know that. And so even, when he eventually dropped it, like, I guess he probably just lost concentration. Like, why are you still kicking it to me, man? Like, your plan's not working. Like, this is the plan. Yeah. This is the plan. You've made, like, half of your usual meters.
The plan is to limit. Yeah, that's right. The plan is to limit your impact on those kick returns and to enable us to at least be within the 30 meters of your try line for your first carry of the ball out. But in the weekend, like against South Sydney, they're a team that I feel are going to end up in the bottom eight this year. Oh, and that's my son's team, and I keep telling him, like, ah, sorry, Ken. Your team's not going to make it because of all the outside noise. Like, there's too much noise that's not league-related.
Who's coming to coach, when Bennett's coming back, and look at it's like, yeah, all of that rubbish that's happening is like, it's nothing to do with your team. Yeah.
Shit that happened in the off-season, Sam Bridges leaving in the off-season because of, you know, he didn't name names, but we kind of all know. It's like, so it's because Latrell and Cody Walker, they want to do their own thing, but, you know, Sam Bridges is like, boys, we're trying to instill standards and have a culture here of you know, turning up to trainings on time or giving 150%. And if you watch the game on the weekend, like, it was a joke between me and Caleb, where I was saying to him, oh man, every time Latrell catches the ball, he passes it. He doesn't want to run it back. And he did the exact same thing so many times. The ball got kicked down to him, he'll catch it. And if there's a winger close by or someone that he can pass it to, he passes. And, you know, even the commentators are like, oh, you know, I wish Latrell had sort of ran the ball back, because he only had like one guy, which he probably could have stepped Rocket Berry or whoever that had sort of run down. But he always passes it. And that sort of brings into question things like his commitment, you know, his heart. Is his heart really in the game? There's too much stuff happening.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, he is a superstar, and they keep talking about he's bigger than the game. And I think he does so much outside of the game that he brings attention to himself, you know, just bad stuff, but also good stuff for the community and that. But yeah, when you talk passes, I mean, that little pass that he got off that went to Paul Thompson, that first try, you know, that was a Latrell touch. And I don't know what happened there. It just looked like the Warriors were just clocked off, because the same happens later after the Warriors score. Latrell does a similar tip on. Whiten gets through a gap, and then Tupou comes. And I guess the Warriors kind of just their urgency. You just see that body language change. So that was cool to just see them adjust to what had happened earlier. And that's kind of what the first half ended up being, was just them. Because it wasn't the balance, kind of in that middle 30 minutes. They just kind of was a lot of back and forth. There were opportunities. And then up until, you know, that little, the elbow, or not little. Latrell, it was weird to watch that game. Just the buddiness of Latrell, like, just his energy. You know, you see him quite aggro, and, you know, these kind of games, he'd laugh at us. I don't know if just the writing's on the wall or something, but yeah, just seeing him patting guys on the back when he was getting tackled. And even that, like, he knew he had stuffed up with Sean. Credit to Johnson. Like, he could have milked that for every, like, just stayed down. Like, because he looked like he actually got knocked out, but it obviously infected him. He kind of caught it to the ref. But, you know, he could have gone straight down and lay down like all these other players.
I think he was... Sean, too, is like...
Yeah,
a poster boy for the NRL. You know, he's been a poster boy for a few years now. You know, because of who he is and the impact that he has on the Warriors and the Kiwis. It's a I think they must all know each other. So when he gets the elbow in the face, he's a bit shocked. Like, oh, really? What is that guy?
Hey, what did I do to you? Not my fault. You playing Kaya at the moment?
Honestly, I didn't even catch it. It wasn't until...
Yeah, because with the play played on, he went down. Yeah.
It's like, oh, the bunker had reviewed it. Yeah. And I went... Because at first it just looked like he'd got fended in the face. And then I thought, oh, yeah. And then, they reviewed it, and it's an elbow. And then they showed the slow-mo of the replay. And I was like, oi, suddenly there was no palm at all. It was all elbow across his chops. And I was like, and why is he still on the field? Like, honestly, any other player, like, if that's a Jared Warrior Hargreaves again, like, I had to bring Jared back to these conversations whenever we talk about foul play. But with the record that Jared has and with the type of play that he's kind of known for, if that's Jared giving an elbow to someone's face,
exactly. He's walking off the field. So, yeah, that was, and that's, like that game, I don't know. Well, it looks like he's going to have some time on the sidelines. But after that, the Tohu Harris, that was just a, just like awkward and dumb. Like you, everyone knows, like most players, like you don't put your hands in between the legs. And so when he kind of started tipping him, like, bro. And then the, and so that's kind of the two most people cite. But then the Jackson Ford try even just swings over the top of him. And it, I was like, man, if Jackson Ford drops that ball, well, what happens then? Like, does it just, does it go as a no try and just carry on? I was like, bro, like if he doesn't score that try.
You know, and like if it's, if the match review committee has given him 3 weeks for both incidents that were put on report, you know, they could have still looked at that swinging arm after that try as something that happened during the game that, that they could have added to whatever evidence that they had where they came up with 3 weeks. I was like, 3 weeks?
Yeah.
That is piss poor, man. And I know it ain't calling anyone monkey, but come on, bro. Like, it was rubbish. But yeah, yeah, so why I mentioned that that's that tactic that they used against the Storm is because they used the same tactic against South with that that Toots Ball. What's his name? Toots Ball Thompson. They used the same tactic. Like they just kicked the ball, waited for him to catch it, and then they just nullify his bringing the ball back. And I was laughing because during the game, I was just thinking, silly this guy, Scottish guy. And then think,
there's a thing, the way they got their heels up after that try, like, yeah, this is going to be one of those days.
Well, he's got, oh, man. And my sister-in-law, like, she likes to do the old flutter on these games, and she's like, oh, damn it, I want a Rocco Berry. I had Rocco Berry as first try scorer, and then Rocco scores the door his first try.
Does she watch or she just like flutters and like, oh, I'm gonna choose this person?
Oh, oh nah, she's a nice hearty, bro. That's who we get our season passes from every year. So I think she and she had one that came in. She was like, oh yeah, Rocco Berry scores either 1, 2, or 3 try. Sean Johnson anytime try score and Warriors to win. And I was like, hey, and then it came in, I was like,
man, Rocco Berry's been awesome. Just, you know, like last year, like had a little, like he was talked up, you know, being a former, you know, All Black great son. And so, you know, it was kind of like a lot of expectancy. Then he had a few little off games kind of in and out of the team. But man, this year he's looking the goods. Just so focused, just the way he's playing. Real impressed over me.
Yeah, I like Rocco because he looks like someone who is whoever's coaching him or whoever's teaching him how to be a rugby league centre. Like he looks
lessons that like he's learning. Like board. It just looks like that's what he's doing. Like.
Yeah, like he's not rushing up out of the line. He's not, which is funny because you know they had Roger on the wing. And it looks like Roger hasn't played on the wing for ages because the man was rushing up.
I'll smash anybody.
How many times did Tutu Paul look like he was going to gas it down the wing? And I was like, silly Roger, don't rush up out of the line like that, bro. And like it was they cool that they were able to celebrate his 200th with the win.
Just their defensive patterns. Like, that was like kind of just that's why I was saying it looked like when that first try, it was almost like it caught everyone off guard because it was like, way out from the line, and then it was like, oh, silly, why is no one chasing him? And then after that, just the scramble kind of like everyone just switched on. So it was almost like they hadn't gotten into their patterns or something like just that first try.
Yeah, and like I've talked about like Latrell and how the optics look like he's not really into it, he doesn't have the heart. But then you look at the rest of the South Sydney team and the way that they're playing at the moment, like there were some of those breaks, and I think I saw it on NRL 360 where they talked about some of the breaks that the Warriors had made, and all the people in some of the shots are Warriors players. Like No one pushes back on defense. No one's chasing down hardcore. Like, you know, you see those ones where it's a breakaway try, but you see the wingers. Like, if AJ was there, that guy would be chasing everything down. Like, I've seen Alex Johnson just run all day.
Right, and he runs,
scores tries, and then he'll run. Yeah, man. And that's that's who epitomizes the Rabbitohs' heart in that team. And he's out injured at the moment. But, like, no one's kind of stepped up.
Yeah, kind of.
And, you know, is representing the South's culture of old. You know, it's like, man, what's happened to South? So they fall off. Like, Cam Murray, I think, is the only
one. And even
one
then,
really,
like, I think he's
putting his hand up.
Like, him and Gloa Matangi are just giving guts. Like, they're playing with heart. But I think, yeah, that's what they're missing is, like, that. Like, just trying to be, like, yeah, whatever the South culture is, like, yeah, just really chasing things hard. Like, I guess those are guys that stand up, but they always stand up. So it's really hard to see the passion. Like, if you saw that come out of, you know, like, just one of these other guys, like a Tane Milne, like, if you saw it come out of those guys, that's when, like, people get on because it's like, oh, yeah, yeah. But when it comes out of the same guys, which is kind of expected from, like, there's not as much impact, whereas if you, you know, people jump on the back of guys like, you know, Jackson Ford, if he starts, you know, picking up the team, you know, just these guys that you don't expect to do the huge plays. Yeah, no one seems to, like, outside of the usual, yeah, like, looking at this roster, it's a struggle, like, yeah, even Burgess, like, just, he's just being a big body, but other than that, he's not doing anything special. He's not, you know, putting in that extra work and being like when Lindsay Collins last year, just the difference he made in, as a prop.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm just going to be busy. I'm just going to be everywhere just trying to make a difference. And that kind of brought through that. Guys want to hop, like from the Roosters, hopped on his back at the end of that season.
Mm.
Yeah, and that's the kind of guys you want. Like, not the guys who are always there, but just other guys that go, yep, I'm going to try and do this for us.
Yeah, and Souths don't have those players at the moment. You know, they don't have the players who are going to leave your club at the end of the year like Adam Fanua Blake, but still at the beginning of the year say, guys, this next year.
And I think Whiten can be that kind of guy, Jack Whiten, but he's new. Like, that's the thing. It's hard to get, like, I think for him, like, he can be, like, one of those guys, but real hard to come into a place where you've come and said, I want to go to a place, I'm going to win a premiership. And all of a sudden, Latrell goes out of that back line. Now everyone's looking at him like, you're going to win it for us, bro. Like, oh, hey, man, I came to be part of a team. You guys are all looking at me like, oh, yeah, so you got to work with Cody Walker and make all these awesome moves for us now. Like, oh, hey, man, I came to be part of a premiership team, not trying to be the man and carry you guys. But that's pretty much the shining
Unfortunately, and, you know, unfortunately for Jack Whiten, he's not going to have a supporting cast with him in Latrell or flipping Cody Walker, because those two, they're confidence players.
When they're up.
You know, they remind me of the Sean Johnson of old, that, you know, when they're up, you're right. Like, and they play with confidence when they're moving forward, they're just scoring at will. And when you watch them in that mood, when they get in that mood, it's really great to watch because it's just entertaining rugby league. It's all instinct plays, and those guys are just on their game and they're on fire, you know. And then at the moment, like, because they're not doing well, it's similar to the Broncos when flipping Adam Reynolds comes off. You know, you need one of their leaders to step up and pull them up and get them across the line. At the moment, Souths don't have that. Once guys like Latrell that should be there and are not there, you know, and I don't know. It's really up to Latrell whether he's able to get himself out of this funk that he's in and not read into everyone else's opinion of how he's playing or what he's doing and, you know, and just get back to basics. And that's unfortunately the thing that's going to impact Souths the most this year is Latrell and his ability to get back to basics, back to just playing rugby league, back to just doing what...
I think that's the thing, it's like these gun guys, really like not overtrain, but it's almost like over... Yeah, take that kind of... that mongrel out of the game. Like, I don't know if it's mongrel or what. Like, Cody Walker, you know, like how he was always a gun, but teams realized if you get under his skin, you know, you can...
Yeah.
he'll ruck and he kills his game. And so at the back of like last year, you saw that he adjusted that, and he was able to kind of still play a game and not let it affect him. But it's almost like it's kind of he sits in that middle ground now, and he's lost that the mongrel side that like just really goes for it. It's almost like he's like, oh, it's just a game. I shouldn't let it affect me so much. It's like, hey man, you needed to let it affect you. You need to be. It's almost like the passion part is gone, so that he can manage his, you know, the character piece where it's like just loses the game because he just can't handle the niggle. And so now he's been able to adjust the mindset, but it's almost like such a calm mindset that it's like, bro, you need that edge back. Like, you need that, like, how can I go for it? And I'm going to cry if we lose, but I really want to win. Because, it's like, it's just that habit of just getting used to losing. Like, oh, yeah, another game.
I was reading a stat where they've lost 15 of the last 20 games.
That's... So that's about since that run last when they were like coming first on the table, and then they went kōpai.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. They were top of the table, and then they went on this on this terrible streak of losses. And then, like, so you know, when you see the Aussie commentators and they're getting on the backs of selves after five rounds,
exactly.
After five rounds. And I remember Buzz was pointing it out to tell us. On NRL 360 was telling us, like, we're taking it back to last year. Like, the rot started last year, and then Sam Burgess leaving, and all of those issues that are, you know, that are not on field issues, these are all off field. And the coach, you know, it comes down to the coach as well. And I think he's not that right coach himself. This guy, he's not gonna bring a premiership to them. But to be honest, like, things started to fall off. Like, the wheels fell off the wagon for Souths when they didn't re-sign Reynolds.
Yeah,
let's be honest.
Yeah.
they had no plan. Like, they just re-signed Reynolds for 3 years that he wanted. It's exactly the same with how the Warriors lost Tate ages ago. Tate wanted 3 years. The Warriors only wanted to offer him two.
Went to the Titans.
He goes off to North Queensland. Yeah, gives us... And then they end up winning a premiership like the year after, or whatever. So I was like, nah. And you know, and then Souths are sitting there eating their kōpai last year when the Broncos make the grand final with Reynolds, and they're like,
I'm just glad this isn't us. Like, it's a hard pill to swallow, but we've been there. Like, I you know, back pre-COVID when we, you know, after two seasons, we were on our like fifth coach. Because, you know, we were having performances like this where, you know, and that's the thing. It's easy kind of when you look at the way our team's been so consistent and you say, oh, premierships aren't won in March. Mm. But it's kind of when you can see your team doing the right things. Doesn't matter if you're nowhere near the top. But if your team's doing the right things, then I guess that's the thing. At round five, you know, you've got talk of Demetrio's got 80 minutes to keep his job. And so, I think it's just the pressure and it comes down to, the way your team's performing. And I don't think it goes on win-loss. It very much goes on, you know, just the consistency and what you can see in terms of, passion and want team week in and week out, as opposed to, you know, just scoreboard and winning games. It looks like a long road to recovery. And we might find out next week.
up the wires.
Like, I try not to spend the whole podcast rapping them, but man, I got so much notes of just everything the guys are doing. Wade Egan pushing for a blue jersey definitely has to be in the mix.
I think
watching Cook.
He's probably one of the top three hookers. Like, absolutely. There's probably a number of guys that, you know, they used to say that players came to the Warriors to see their careers either die or to retire and make lots of money because the Warriors were paying overs to get all these players to come and play for them. But, you know, flipping heck, like the buys that they've done, they've made in the last couple of years, which haven't been many. Like Webster has pretty much inherited the same team,
just
bar a number of, like near Kore.
Blake went, that was probably the biggest signing and off the back of when he had done. That massive season for Manly. And he's, he's been one of our best buys, I reckon. Just that professionalism he's bought and maintained too, like, he had a little bit of a drop in that first season back, but other than that, like, he's pretty much just carried on where he left off from Manly.
Yeah, like, his game really picked up when they gave him the captaincy in that COVID year. Like, they made him captain, and then he was playing out of his skin, man. I was like, whoa, look at how much the captaincy impacts this guy's play. Like, he was turning up week in, week out. Because remember, we had that flipping guy, what was that guy that came over from Broncos and then he went to the Roosters and we were still paying his salary. I've forgotten his name. But, like, you know, we had that guy who was, everyone was sort of going, hey, we don't need this guy. We've got sort of Adden. And then Adden was still doing what Adden does, but then he left and you know, Tohu came back from his injury, got the captaincy back. But Adden's level stayed super consistent, super high. And, man, you could see how happy he was playing last year. And that's the cool thing that I've enjoyed about watching the Warriors this year is that they've been able to maintain that consistency. And like I was saying earlier, their best games and their worst games so far this season have been super close. And so that's what you want to see in the teams that you support, is that they're consistent. Because if they keep that up, then they'll be able to go deep into the season.
Just just exciting to see our team just play the way they're playing. Awesome to see Nickel Klokstad back. Me and Sai had a little rant about RTS and Klokstad. But seeing what Klokstad, like, even the commentators were getting confused. Who was Klokstad and Roger? You know, he's got that same run, that same step. So, yeah, safe there. Like, we're safe. Like I said, like, no one can keep Roger out of fullback other than Adam Pompey. Like, Adam needs to play better for Roger not to be our centre. Roger signed as a centre, and he'll play as our centre. And I think that's the thing. Like, the way we play, because we've got so much attack zones, like, and, you know, everything was working last year. So it makes sense. Like, yeah, why would you break what Klokstad did last year? And if that's our game plan, now we're just adding more strike with Roger. And it kind of showed when he played last week and the week before. Had an outstanding game at centre with Tōpiki doing well at the back. And so, yeah, I think we're still yet to see a complete team. And the depth. I'm so glad, like, looking at the roster early in the season, I was like, man, it's a waste. We got all these good names. Like, we just got all these guys on the bench, kind of fine. Like, starters from last year struggling to make the 18. I'm like, oh, man, like, that's...
There's a good headache to have. And it goes to show, like,
Bunty, you know, getting a start. He played the edge, I think, when he started. Like, because Barnett played on the edge and he came in the centre. Yeah, so seeing guys like Bunty, I guess, hats off to him. Like, that just shows, like, getting to start just shows your hard work with the roster we've got. So, yeah, real good headache to have. And, you know, with the injuries we've been getting too, like, it's nice to be able to have that cover. Like, Metcalf's a huge out for us. But having Chanel last week and then Tamaide this week, it was, I can see why, you know, Andrew Webster's such a good coach. Like, just that foresight to have so much. And, like, we didn't buy much, but just who we kept and who we let go. Like, Curran was a huge loss. Like you said, he's been huge for the Doggies. But, you know, we kept enough of the great ones. And some of these young players coming through. Laban, awesome to see his debut. Like, and he ran well. He had an awesome game.
They've got good depth coming through with young guys. You know, there's still guys like Ed Gussie, who they're doing really well in the reserve grade. Yeah. Ali Leotawa, that's Ali's nephew. Like, Yeah, that's his sister's son. They're, like, those guys are doing really well in reserve grade. There was one match, I think, where they got absolutely smoked by the top of the table team. But what's good about seeing guys like Bunty and Tom Ale even still being there, you know? Like, you could be like Lomax and you see someone sign in into your position for the new year and then you could get all salty and then want to leave, you know? So Tom Ale and Bunty seeing like names, you know, Mitch Barnett come in, or then they sign
exactly. Neil Corey. Just seeing all these others, like,
and then it's like,
I might go look for a contract. Yeah. Or just
you could get
my
salty.
Managers start getting things in order.
Exactly. It's like, hey, I want to play NRL and I'm not getting the minutes. So can you, you know, have a look around? Sure. You know, you could get those kind of players that you do get in other clubs that they don't get the minutes that they want in the NRL. And then they start having these conversations with their agent to move them. And then you get that transfer window that NRL now has where players are like
a few conversations.
Looking to jump ship. But yeah, hard out. But, you know, the Warriors have got young guys coming through, but they've also got young guys and really committed people, especially in that forward pack. Like, and Adam Pompey is probably a really good example.
Exactly.
Like, Roger coming back. Pompey could have easily gone,
Super League,
you know what? What? Chanel's coming back too. You know, it's like, oh, Chanel's coming back. Roger's going to come back. They're already talking about him starting. He's like, silly, I played every game
and,
in 2023.
And I think that's the thing. Like,
and nobody.
I think, like you're saying, it's positive to see them staying. But even more positive must be the message they're getting. But what they're seeing is that I want to be here, like the same reason Jack Wyden thought he was going to the Rabbits.
Yeah.
I can see something building here and I want to be here for it. Moving on to our next game on the Saturday night, the Sea Eagles taking the cookies over the Panthers. Panthers started out good. Do you catch this game, Moss?
I think the Panthers. I think the Panthers were encouraged by the week before when Manly went down to St. George, and so they're probably thinking, "Yeah, what's going on?" But
we didn't need Nathan Cleary, man.
They were always going to turn up for. They were always going to turn up for DCE taking over from Cliffy Lyons as being the most capped Manly player. And I was thinking, holy crap, I didn't even realise that Cliffy had played that many games for Manly. Yeah, I remember being a massive Manly fan back in the days before the Warriors. And you know, you're right. Like, Cliffy was hot and cold, man. He'd be like the man 1 week, and then...
give it to Beaver. Give it to Beaver. It's Beaver's week.
So, you know, and Manly turned up for that game, and
they turned up.
I mean, there was no way that they weren't going to win that game. And so, you know, watching the Warriors win and then watching Manly, like, for fight the Panthers, I was like, oh, yeah, good. Get your win out the way this week.
Yeah,
so
I don't know.
Can beat you next week.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. If they get wasted, they're going to come back angry next week. That was a solid win from Manly, from what I saw. The Totola try. Oh, not the, sorry, the Cola try with the Totola knock directly down.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, you know, I always say, I've been saying recently that NRL is a really entertaining product at the moment, more so than Super Rugby, because they get a lot right, because it's entertaining, it's edge of your seat stuff. But then when you see shit like that happen, and it's like, so there's a knock ons every day, every sport that has, like, so not getting caught was like,
the knockdown rule.
It's shit like this. Yeah, man.
I think what Simon and Stace have made a point about one of the other weeks, though, is at least they don't over-officiate the game.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's part of what makes it exciting is that, you know, that they're allowed to get things wrong and the game plays on. And that's part of the rules too. Play to the whistle. So, you know, you've got to play that expensive kind of game. And, yeah. And, yeah, I think the Bunkers had shockers all year. That's probably one thing that definitely stands out is the Bunkers being off on quite a few calls.
A bit consistently.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, I don't know. Like, you look at that scoreline, and so you kind of, I guess momentum possibly. But, yeah, it's not a try that's going to make a difference in the game. And I think, week by week we get over it. And I think in terms of, an overall product, the guys probably hit it right. Like, you go the other way, like Union, you want to try and get things right all the time. And it just takes away from the beauty of the game.